tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. All right, let's get right into it. On November 29th, 2025, America witnessed one of the most heartbreaking tragedies of the year when a mass shooting erupted at a child's birthday party in Stockton, California. Four people were murdered, three children and one adult, and more than a dozen others were wounded, leaving families shattered and a community in shock. Right now, every person across this country should be outraged because this kind of evil has nothing to do with race. It's about people who have absolutely no respect for life. The individuals who carried out this attack, whoever they are dangerous, heartless, and a threat to society. And when they are caught, they deserve the full weight of justice without hesitation. Gangs and people who choose this life destroy communities, terrorize innocent families, and offer nothing but pain, fear, and death. They have no place in a civilized society. I'm a black man, and let me be clear, I do not want anything to do with people who commit these acts. They do not represent us, and they do not deserve to stand among decent people. Decent people working hard to raise families and build a better life. If the killers are not yet caught, let it be known. No excuse can justify this cruelty, and the people who did this must be held accountable to the highest degree. These innocent children deserve to grow up, not to have their lives stolen by cowards who treat life like it has no value. All right, let's get right into the show now. I just had to say that because it breaks my heart when I see these type of acts happen. That was sad to me. Young children just lost their life for no daggone reason. Well, this topic might be a little controversial, but I want to talk about Christianity. Sometimes when I ask people what the religion is, they'll say Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, and so on, not realizing these are the denominations and not the actual religion itself. These denominations belong to a broader traditions within Christianity, and each one expresses the faith in a different way while still pointing back to Jesus. I just want to make sure I'm right in saying this, because a lot of times people don't recognize the difference between the religion and the branches within it. Now I'm here to break it down for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I hope you learn something today. Denominations. What a denomination is? A denomination is simply a branch or organized group within Christianity that shares specific beliefs, traditions, or leadership structures. It's not a different religion. It's a different expression of the same faith. The denominations form because Christians have unique ways of interpreting scriptures and practicing their faith. People read the Bible differently based on culture, history, and language, which leads to different traditions. These differences naturally evolve into separate groups that emphasize certain teachings, despite the variety most denominations agree on core Christian beliefs about the great Jesus Christ. The denominations, though, are not the visions of God. Many people think denominations divide Christianity, but most denominations see themselves as different styles of worship and understanding. The Bible never commands one organizational structure for churches, so diversity developed over time. Paul even wrote that believers would have many members, but one body in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Denominations share more similarities than differences. Almost all Christians' denominations believe Jesus is the Son of God. Salvation comes through him, and the Bible is sacred. Their differences are usually about traditions, not salvation. So even though the churches look different, the center of the faith remains the same. The Bible does not, and I repeat, the Bible does not mention denominations. When the early church began, there were no Baptists, Catholics, Pentecostals, or Methodists. There was simply a community of believers following Jesus' teachings. The denominations came much later as Christianity spread across continent and cultures. Now the language, geography shaped denominations. As Christianity reached different countries, people practiced faith using their own languages and customs. Over time, these cultural expressions turned into distinct church groups. This is why African, European, Middle Eastern, and Caribbean churches often look very different from each other. The interpretation creates denominations. Some denominations Baptists baptize infants, others baptize adults. Some worship quietly, others praise loudly with music, drums, and dance. These differences come from how each group interprets scripture, like Acts 2 or Romans 6, verse 3 to 4. Now, leadership styles, right, create denominations. Some churches have bishops, some have elders, and some are fully independent. This organizational structure determines how that denomination functions and makes the decisions. These styles evolve from early Christian communities in different regions. Denominations and doctrines. Doctrine means a set of core beliefs a church teaches. Denominations often begin when a group believes a doctrine is essential enough to stand on its own. Examples include baptism, speaking in tongues, or church authority. Denominations and worship styles. Some denominations prefer traditional hymns, robes, and formal services. Others prefer contemporary worship with bands, choirs, or charismatic expressions. Worship style alone has created thousands of unique Christian communities worldwide. So the denominations and mission focus. Some denominations focus heavily on evangelism, others on community service, social justice, or theology. These priorities shape how the church operates. It also attracts people who value their particular mission. The Christianity's global growth creates more denominations. As Christians expanded across Africa, Asia, Europe, and the Caribbean, and the Americas, each community formed churches that reflect their identity. Over time, these churches became formal denominations. Today, many of them are recognized globally. Non-denominational churches are also denominations. Many churches today call themselves non-denominational, meaning they don't believe to a formal group. But as they grow, they develop their own beliefs, styles, and leadership patterns. This essentially makes them new denominations. So Christianity has thousands of denominations. Today, Christianity has between 30,000 and 45,000 denominations worldwide. This number includes large groups, small independent churches, and cultural variations, despite the number most followers identify with only a few major branches like Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox. Now, how denominations form, right? Early church, unity, and diversity. In this first century, Christians met in homes, prayed together, and shared resources. Even though they were united in Christ, they came from different cultures like Jewish, Greek, and Roman backgrounds. These cultural differences created the first variation in Christian practice. So the geographic separation create distinct traditions, right? As apostles traveled, Christianity spread into regions like Africa, the Middle East, Greece, and Italy. Each region developed its own style of worship and leadership. Over time, these differences became permanent traditions that evolved into denominations. Persecutions strengthened local church identity. When Christianity faced persecution under Roman emperors, they had to worship secretly. Underground gatherings led to strong local communities with their own leaders. This strengthened individuality in doctrine and worship. The role of church councils, right? So as different teachings spread, early church leaders held councils to resolve conflicts. These councils addressed debates on Jesus, divinity, the Trinity, and the scripture. Decisions from these meetings sometimes pushed groups into forming their own branches. So the language barriers, right, intensify divisions. Greek, Latin, Coptic, Syriac, and later English, German, and French became dominant church languages. Each translation shaped theology differently. This explains why certain verses were emphasized more heavily in specific regions. Political influence on church development. Kings, emperors, and government often controlled or influenced local churches. This political interference shaped how denominations formed and operated. For example, the Roman Empire supported the Latin-speaking Catholic Church, while Eastern regions favored different traditions. Now, the rise of church hierarchies, right? Some Christian groups developed bishops and structured leadership, while others remained independent. These differences eventually solidified into organizational denominations. Leadership structure became one of the earliest dividing lines. Now, sometimes they had debate over theology. So arguments about the nature of Christ, the role of the Holy Spirit, baptism, and salvation caused major theological splits. Even small differences became significant enough for groups to establish separate identities. These theological distinctions laid the foundations for modern denominations. The Great Schism of 1054. This event officially separated the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches. The split happened because of disagreements about authority, doctrine, and cultural differences. It remains one of the biggest divides in Christian history. The Protestant Reformation of 1517. Martin Luther challenged church corruptions and teachings he believed strayed from Scripture. His 95 Theses spark a movement calling to reform, not separation. But separation became unavoidable. This moment created dozens of new Christian denominations. Scripture interpretation differences. This is where it gets tricky. So different groups emphasize different verses or doctrines. For example, some focus on baptism by immersion, in the Romans 6:4 discuss that, while others, Romans 6, verse 4, while others practice infant baptism based on covenant ideas. Interpretation remains one of the largest reasons denominations form today. So the missionary expansion created cultural denominations. As missionaries traveled across Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, and the Americas, local people adapted Christian teachings to their cultures. These adaptations became new denominations rooted in local identity. This is why Christianity looks different depending on where you go. The revival movements sparked new denominations. The Great Awakening in the 17th and 1800s created passionate spiritual renewal. New movements like Methodism, Pentecostalism, and holiness, churches emerged. Revivals often produced denominations because they introduced fresh interpretations of scriptures. The denominations continue to form today. New groups form in modern times based on new teachings, worship styles, and cultural shifts. Non-denominational churches especially grow into their own networks. Christianity continues to expand because people express their faith in new ways, right? So now, over the major Christian branches, right? Christianity's three major branches. Christianity is divided into Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestant branches. These three families make up nearly all of global Christianity. Each branch developed unique traditions, leadership structures, and theological emphasis. Roman Catholicism and global influence. The Catholic Church is the largest Christian group in the world with over a billion followers. It is led by the Pope and traces its authority back to the Apostle Peter. Catholics believe in sacraments, church tradition, and scripture as foundational to the faith. The Catholic sacraments and practices. Catholics recognize seven sacraments, including baptism, communion, and confession. These practices shape daily faith and spiritual life. Many are rooted in early church tradition and passages like John 20, verse 23, regarding forgiveness. Eastern Orthodoxy and early Christian tradition. The Orthodox Church preserved ancient Christian worship style that date back to the early centuries. Its services are deeply symbolic, emphasizes the mystery of God. Orthodoxy is strong in Greece, Russia, and Eastern Europe and parts of Africa. Orthodox view church authority. Unlike Catholic, Orthodox Christians do not have a single leader like the Pope. Instead, regional patriarchs oversee different national churches. They rely heavily on the teachings of early church fathers and the decisions of historic councils. Protestant Christianity's diverse landscape. Protestantism includes thousands of denominations, such as Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, and Anglican. It emerged during the Reformation in the 1500s. Protestants emphasized salvation by faith, scripture alone, and individual relationship with God. The doctrine of sola scriptura. Protestants believe scripture is the highest authority in matters of faith. This teaching challenged traditions that had developed outside of the Bible. Verses like 2 Timothy 3:16-17 support this perspective. The role of faith in salvation. Protestants teach that salvation is by grace through faith, based on Ephesians 2:8-9. This doctrine became a cornerstone of the Reformation. It shaped how Protestants view baptism, communion, and spiritual life. Anglicanism as a middle way. The Anglican Church, started by King Henry VIII, blends Catholic traditions with Protestant theology. It maintains liturgical worship but rejects papal authority. This creates middle ground between Catholic and Protestant beliefs. Pentecostal and the Holy Spirit. Pentecostal churches emphasize the spirit gifts like speaking in tongues, healing, and prophecy. They base this on Acts 2 and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit during Pentecostal is one of the fastest growing Christian movement worldwide. Baptist beliefs and practices. Baptist emphasizes believers' baptism, meaning only adults who profess faith should be baptized. They baptize by immersion, they symbolize the death and resurrection of Christ. Baptized also believe in local church independence and biblical authority. Methodist and personal holiness. The Methodist movement began with John Wesley's emphasis on practical Christian living. He taught that faith should transform behavior, character, and lifestyle. Methodists also focused heavily on serving the poor and community outreach. Non-denominational churches. These churches operate without formal ties to traditional denominations. They often blend teachings from Baptist, Pentecostal, and evangelical traditions. Their flexibility attracts many modern believers seeking a more personal worship environment. The unity within Christian diversity. Even with thousands of denominations, Christians across traditions share belief in Jesus' death, resurrection, and the authority of Scripture. Denominations express diversity, not division, within the body of Christ. As Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit. The Baptist origins and belief. Where Baptists came from. The Baptist movement began in the early 1600s in England as Christians thought the freedom to practice faith directly from the Bible. They rejected state-controlled religion and pushed for local church independence. This pursuit of political purity created a new denomination centered on personal faith. Believers' baptism, right? So Baptists teach that only people who personally accept Christ should be baptized. This comes from passages like Acts verse 41, where believers were baptized after receiving the message. Baptism symbolizes a conscious decision to follow Jesus. Immersion baptism. Baptists baptized by fully immersing a person underwater, symbolizing death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. Romans 6, verse 4 is the key scripture supporting this practice. Immersion is seen as an outward testimony of inward transformation. The biblical authority. Baptists believe the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith. This principle, known as sola scriptura, shapes Baptist doctrine. Every teaching must be supported by scripture. Local church independence. Each Baptist church governs itself, making decisions through its congregation. There is no bishop or national hierarchy controlling Baptist churches. This independence allows churches to reflect local needs and culture. Salvation by faith alone. Baptists teach salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ, not through works or rituals. Ephesians 2, 8, verse 8 to 9 is central to this belief. Personal repentance, acceptance of Christ are essential steps. Evangelism and missions. Baptists are strongly committed to spreading the gospel locally and globally. They believe Jesus' command in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, applies to all believers. This has made Baptists one of the most missionary-oriented denominations in history. Separation of church and state. Early Baptists fought for religious freedom, believing faith should not be forced by government. This position influenced America's constitutional principles. Baptists saw state religion as harmful to genuine faith. The worship style, flexibility. Baptist churches vary widely in worship. Some are traditional, others are highly contemporary. This diversity comes from the independence of each congregation. No single style defines Baptist worship. The role of a pastor, right? So Baptist pastors provide spiritual leadership, but do not rule over the church. Decision-making is shared between pastors and congregations. This model reinforces community involvement. Communion as a symbol. Baptists view communion as a symbol, remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice, not a literal transformation of bread and wine. This belief is rooted in passages like Luke 22, verse 19, where Jesus said, "Do this remembrance of me." Communion strengthens spiritual reflections. The priesthood of all believers. Baptists believe every Christian had direct access to God without a human mediator. This comes from 1 Peter 2, verse 9, which calls believers a royal priesthood. Prayer and spiritual authority belongs to all Christians. Strong community identity. Historically, Baptists built tight-knit church communities, community centers on family worship and support. Church life often extended into daily life. This helped Baptists grow rapidly in church, America, and the Caribbean. In America and the Caribbean, right? So Baptist diversity today. Today, there are more than 200 Baptist groups worldwide. These include Southern Baptists, National Baptists, Independent Baptists, and Missionary Baptists. Despite differences, they share the core Baptist belief about scripture and baptism. Now let's talk about King Henry VIII and the Anglican split. Henry's early Catholic loyalty. Henry VIII was originally a devoted Catholic who opposed Protestant reformers. The Pope even granted him the title Defender of the Faith. His break from Rome was unexpected. The marriage crisis. Henry sought an annulment from Catherine of Aragon after failing to produce a male heir. The Pope refused due to political pressure from Spain. This did now led Henry to challenge papal authority. So, you know, Henry's trying to get a divorce from Catherine of Aragon, his wife, and the Pope refused to give him a divorce. That's why he split from the church. The Act of Supremacy, 1534. Henry passed a law declaring himself head of the Church of England. This removed the Pope's authority in England. It marked the official beginning of the Anglican Church. The creation of the Anglicanism. The new Church of England kept many Catholic traditions but aligned with Protestant ideas. It became a hybrid church combining old and new practices. This middle way still defines Anglicanism today. The dissolution of monasteries. Henry closed hundreds of monasteries, redistributing wealth and land. This weakened Catholic power in England. It also strengthened the crown financially. Religious tension in England. Henry's split created a decade of conflicts between Catholics and Protestants. Each new monarch shifted the country in one direction or another. England became a battleground of religious identity. Henry's theological change. Henry did not abandon all Catholic beliefs, but he rejected papal authority. His main change was political control, not theology. Later, rulers pushed the church further into Protestantism, the Anglican worship practices. Anglican services include liturgy, scripture, readings, and communions. They resemble Catholic worship but emphasize biblical teaching. This balance appealed to many believers. The Anglican spread through colonization. As England built its empire, Anglicanism spread to America, Africa, and the Caribbean. The church became a global institution. Many nations still maintain Anglican traditions today. The Bible in English. Henry supported English translation of the Bible so common people could read it. This transformed religious understanding across the nation. Scripture became more accessible than ever before. Conflict with Rome. The Catholic Church condemned Henry's break. England and Rome remained divided for centuries. This split permanently changed Western Christianity. The Anglican leadership structure. The Anglican Church used bishops, priests, and deacons similar to Catholicism. However, leadership is decentralized without a pope. This allows national churches to provide, to govern themselves. The birth of Episcopal Church. Anglicanism and American developed into the Episcopal Church after the American Revolution. It kept Anglican theology, but functioned independently. Today, it's a major denomination. Long-term impact. Henry's break paved the way for Protestant growth in England. It influenced political, religious, and cultural development worldwide. The effects are still visible in modern Christianity. What makes a church Protestant? Roots of Protestantism. So, Protestantism began with Martin Luther's protest against corruption and unbiblical practices. His teachings spread rapidly across Europe. This launched a movement to reform. Protestants believe the Bible is the ultimate authority, not church traditions. 2 Timothy 3, right? Verse 16 to 17 support this belief. This doctrine defines Protestant identity. Protestants teach salvation comes through faith in Jesus, not works. This doctrine is rooted in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. Luther believed this truth had been neglected for centuries. Right? Faith alone. Reduced number of sacraments. Protestants recognize only two sacraments, baptism and communion. These are seen as symbolic acts rather than channels of grace. This simplified approach distinguished Protestants from Catholics. The priesthood of all believers. Protestants believe every believer has direct access to God through Christ. This idea comes from 1 Peter 2, 9, verse 9. It eliminates the need for priestly mediation. The emphasis on preaching. Protestant worship centers on preaching the word of God. Sermons are often longer and more detailed than in other traditions. Teaching is a major part of spiritual growth. The diverse worship styles. Protestant worship through hymns, contemporary music, or charismatic expressions. This flexibility reflects the diversity of denominations. Worship is designed to connect people to God in meaningful ways. The scripture accessible to all. Protestants champion Bible translations in the common languages. This allowed all ordinary people to understand scripture. It led to increased literacy and personal study. Rejection of papal authority. Protestants do not accept the Pope as spiritual leader. Christ alone is head of the church. This was a major dividing point during the Reformation. Congregational versus episcopal leadership. Protestants use different leadership models depending on the denomination. Some use bishops, others elders, and other congregations voting. This flexibility reflects Protestant values. Missionary zeal. Protestant churches became global missionary forces. They spread Christianity throughout Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean. Their outreach shaped modern Christianity. The revivalism. Protestantism inspired revival movements like the Great Awakening. These revivals emphasized personal salvation and spiritual renewal. Many denominations formed from revival preaching. Protestant Bible differences. Protestants use a 66-book Bible, rejecting additional books used in Catholic and Orthodox traditions. This reflects their commitment to Hebrew and early Christian texts. These differences contribute to doctrinal variation. Protestantism includes thousands of denominations. This diversity comes from different interpretations of Scripture. Despite variety, Protestants remain united in the core belief of salvation through Christ. Now, the origins of Christianity. the birth of Christianity, AD 30 to 33. Christianity began after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem. His followers believed he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. The resurrection became the foundation of the new faith. The Jesus' ministry. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God, forgiveness and love. His teachings challenged religious leaders of his time. The Gospels record his miracles, parables, and compassion for humanity. The first disciples. Jesus chose 12 disciples who learned directly from him. After his resurrection, they became foundational leaders of the early church. Their testimony helped spread Christianity rapidly. The early church in Jerusalem. The first Christian community met in homes, prayed together, and shared resources. Acts 2, verse 44 to 47 describes their unity and generosity. This fellowship formed the basis of Christian community life. The role of the Pentecost. On the days of the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, empowering them to preach in different languages. This miracle astonished the crowds. Act 2 marks the moment Christianity began to spread beyond local boundaries. Christianity and Judaism. Christians were Jewish and saw Jesus as the promised Messiah. Over time, differences in belief caused separation between the two groups. This separation led Christianity to develop its own identity. Persecution of early Christians. Rome viewed Christianity as a threat because believers refused to worship Roman gods. Persecution forced Christians to meet secretly in homes and catacombs. Despite danger, the faith continued to grow. Stephen, the first martyr. Stephen boldly preached Jesus as the Messiah and was stoned to death. Martyrdom fueled the spread of Christianity as believers scattered. Acts 7 records his powerful testimony. Saul's conversion, Paul the Apostle. Saul, a persecutor of Christians, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. His dramatic transformation turned him into one of Christianity's greatest evangelists. Paul wrote many New Testament letters. Christianity's message. The core message was salvation through Jesus Christ, available to all people. This universal invitation attracted Gentiles as well as Jews. John 3:16 became central to Christian teaching. The growth of house churches. Early Christians met in small homes, gathering due to persecution. These intimate settings create close relationships and shared learnings. How churches became essential to early Christian life. The apostolic authority. The apostolic were respected as eyewitnesses of Jesus. Their teachings formed the foundation of Christian doctrine. Their authority shaped the early theology structure of Christianity. Early Christian writings. Letters and testimony circulated among churches. Over time, these writings were recognized and inspired scripture. This process led to the formation of the New Testament. By the end of the first century, Christianity reached Syria, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Despite persecution, the message spread through traders, missionaries, and travelers. Christianity became a global movement. early growth of Christianity, right? So Christianity in the Roman Empire. Roman roads and trade routes allowed the gospel to spread quickly. Travel across the empire, the empire was easier than at any previous time in history. This infrastructure helped Christianity expand. The role of Paul's missionary journey. Paul travels thousands of miles preaching and planting churches. His letters encourage believers facing challenges. His influences shape early Christian theology. Christian in North Africa. North Africa quickly became a major Christian center. The church in Alexandria produced influential theologians like Athanasius. These African leaders shaped global Christianity. The spread of the Mediterranean. Christianity spread to islands like Cyprus, Crete, and Malta. These areas became strong early Christian communities. Their strategies, locations accelerated gospel expansion. Paul often preached in synagogues to connect scriptures with Jesus' message. Many Jews and Gentiles believe after hearing his teaching, synagogues provide a natural entry point for evangelism. The more the church were persecuted, the more it grew. Early believers' courage inspired others to follow Christ. Tertullian wrote, "The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church." Let me repeat. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. The underground church. Christians met secretly in homes and underground chambers. These gatherings strengthened community bonds. Despite secrecy, their faith remained bold. Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity. This ended centuries of persecution. It allowed Christianity to grow publicly and rapidly. Christianity became the state religion, AD 380. Under Emperor Theodosius, Christianity became Rome's official religion. This transformed Christianity from a persecuted minority to a dominant force. Churches gained power and influence. The development of church leadership. Bishops, elders, and deacons form structured leadership systems. These roles organize church life. They also created the groundwork for future denominations. Christians, art, and architecture. Once legalized, Christians built churches and created religions, art. They expressed faith visually through mosaics and paintings. These symbols strengthen Christianity identity. Creeds like the Apostle Creed and Nicene Creed summarize Christian beliefs. They help unite churches across regions. These statements still guide many denominations. Monks dedicated themselves to prayer, study, and service. They preserved scripture through hand copying. Monasteries became centers of learning. By the end of the 4th century, Christianity stretched across Europe and Asia. Its growth was unstoppable. The stage was set for future global expansion. So, Christianity expansion in Africa, right? So, Africa's early Christian roots. Christianity reached Africa before many parts of Europe. Acts 8 describes Philip baptizing an Ethiopian official. This moment introduced the gospel to East Africa. Ethiopia became one of the first nations to adopt Christianity as its state religion. Its traditions remain strong to this day. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church traces roots back nearly 2,000 years. Egypt became a center of biblical scholarship. The church in Alexandria shaped early theology. Influential leaders like Origen impacted global Christianity. Egypt's Coptic Christian preserve ancient worship styles. They endure persecution, yet remain faithful. Their tradition dates back to the earliest centuries. North Africa produced famous theologians like Augustine of Hippo. Their writings influenced Western Christianity. Augustine's teachings remain influential. Africa pioneered early monastic movement. Deserted monks thought spiritual discipline away from society. Their writings shaped Christian spirituality. Ancient Nubian kingdoms adopted Christianity. Archaeological discoveries revealed churches and Christian art. These regions practiced the faith for centuries. Several early church fathers from Africa shaped biblical interpretation. Their commentaries guided later theologians. African scholarship remained foundational. Okay, I'm going to stop there. There's a lot of actual information that I could really discuss about Christianity and the Christian religion. Okay, so you know what I mean? There are so many denominations out there, right? But at the same time, though, we all still believe in Jesus Christ, the mighty God. Okay, you know what I mean? And no matter what your denomination is, we are still one under the great God. And for that, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.